This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That. What up, everybody? It's 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. And even though me and B-Mitch were both in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, about 1 a.m., we're both sitting here in the Navy Yard Studios right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot to decompress from last night. We're not going to sugarcoat anything. The offense now for a few weeks has looked a little disjointed. I think the defense has been the better unit for the Washington Commanders. Last night, that game ended in a little bit of a boat racing. But try to keep in mind that under 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, it was a two-point game. It was 12 to 10 at the eight-minute mark in the fourth quarter.
Totally.
There was a 20-second game span, 20 seconds on the game clock, where the Eagles scored two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Saquon had a 24-yard house call. Jaden throws a pick. Saquon has a 50-yard house call. It went that fast, and then all of a sudden, it's a blowout. There's a lot I don't like from last night. I think last night's the first real, the honeymoon's over with DQ. We got some questions, kind of conversations. A lot of folks are going to focus on the field goal. I got more questions about the end of that game. All that said, I tweeted this out last night, and I think we were just talking to White Mike, and White Mike's a young man. This might be the most exciting Commander season he's ever experienced. The kid's, 23 or something, Manfield?
Mm-hmm.
And they got off to this super hot start, and their offense, the numbers behind it and everything, were the best in the league, blah, blah, blah. A lot of that's starting to kind of plateau, right? Like, a lot of that is going to ease down or out over the course of the season. But, like, it's the sky is not falling, folks. Listen, we're going to get into some, for me anyway, some highly critical stuff about last night's game. There's a lot to not like specifically, but let's try for a moment. Deep breath, big picture. They've lost two in a row, first time all year.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. They now get consecutive games at home off of what is a mini bye against two teams with a combined 5-13 record. Then they finally get their actual bye week. Then they have four more games in which they'll probably be favored in at least two of them, maybe three of them. So, like, if you want to go big picture, this team is 7-4, could easily get to the bye week at 9-4. Like, playoffs are still there. They get another crack at Philly in about 5 weeks at home. The sky is not falling. I just want to start there.
Well, I think that's where you need to start. And I think the overall thing is this. No one made anyone all of a sudden throw them years ahead of what the game plan is right now. It's a rebuild. They have to learn how to win. Yes, they went on a stretch of beating some teams. But that doesn't automatically make them to a point where they've arrived. You know what I mean? And I think that's the problem where – and you know how I always try to keep that even keel a little bit. I get excited, but I also understand things are going to go wrong. I think what we saw yesterday, we expected something like that to happen, but we lost sight because they've been playing so well. But I think ultimately, you look at that game, that defense played terrific. They ran out of steam. They had no help from the offense.
Yeah, if you're looking at last night and your beef is with the defensive side of the ball – I can think of four guys easy that played their absolute ass off last night.
Number zero.
Chin, Luvu, Samerstil, and Kwan.
Listen, the thing of it is, the team starts winning, we jump into the playoff talk. And I'm like, you got games left. A lot of people automatically assume when you start winning early in the season that, oh, now you got it. We're going to start talking about what we're going to do in the playoffs. The second half of a season could change a lot of things.
For sure. And let's be clear, I'm not letting anybody off the hook. If you get out to a 7-2 start, you need to still qualify for the playoffs. Maybe things were out over their skis, NFC Championship, how deep of a run can they go, et cetera. I want to keep the conversation to last night because there is so much to discuss from last night. But at the same time, I'm just – everybody that – like, White Mike looks like his dog died. You know what I mean? Like,
who?
Nobody's dog died. Like,
who looked like that?
I'm saying White Mike was upset.
Yeah, but he's
upset because – speaks on behalf of a lot of fans.
But a lot of fans and a lot of people like White Mike, they're upset because the whole narrative changed to – we've arrived. No, we haven't. I mean, we still got to work at it.
Agreed.
And I think that's where a lot of stuff get lost. You know, I know everybody wants to get excited, but still, you got to build that thing. And if you don't build it properly, you start just like immediately everybody wanted to, let's go be a buyer, let's we go do this. You still got to build it.
They went and bought, though.
They bought one, and he hadn't played yet. So
I think the bigger concerns from last night are it's now been a few games where the offense is pretty ineffective. And all week I've been talking about third down conversions and staying on the field, time of possession. And last night you got Brian Robinson back, which was supposed to really help in a lot of these capacities. B-Rob finished that game 16 for 63. Decent total, 3.9 YPC, not great. Brian, they were 3 of 12 on third down. Yeah. And more alarming than that, Jaden's numbers, I think, look better than that game really showed because of an incredibly bizarre late drive.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden finished 22 of 32 for 191. Nothing went downfield. Nothing went to receivers. The 191, 171 of it went to non-wide receivers.
Yeah,
Eckler was your leading pass catcher. He had about half of Jaden's yardage total, which isn't necessarily a problem, right?
Well,
but there was nothing downfield.
As
it was Eckler,
Logan said last night,
John Bates had more catches and yards than Terry McLaurin.
Well, when your running back is leading your team in pass catching, that's not really a good sign.
No.
But the ultimate thing is Jaden's numbers, and I think everybody goes immediately to, the ribs. Did you watch the pass blocking last night?
I think that is the biggest advantage they're going to get from playing Thursday night and now having 5 days off.
Health.
That O-line is beat to hell.
And it looked like it in many occasions. I watched the offensive line very closely last night. And it were guys that, you know, they were going through the motions. A lot of the linemen.
They didn't have much left, man.
Yeah, and I understand that. But the ultimate thing, I say it to you all the time, as good as quarterbacks are, as important as they are, still the most dependent position. If the O-line isn't blocking, I don't think many quarterbacks are going to play well.
No argument there, but I do. Jaden hasn't looked very good now, and granted, the bar was set incredibly high by the way he started the season, but the last few games, he hasn't looked very good. You got to go back to New York, which was 3 games ago now. Since he has looked really good, the offense, even against the Bears, didn't look very good. They were able to squeak that one out. You hit a Hail Mary, mm-hmm. and the football gods are on your side, and that's terrific.
But the thing, what are we looking for, though, Jay? I mean, this is a real question.
From last night?
What are we looking for in you? Are we looking for perfection in every game?
No, you think he looked good last night?
I don't think he looked good, but I'm saying we go on this damn roller coaster ride. Like, we go to how great somebody is to, oh, they're not playing. That is football. That is a whole year of football. You know, I've watched the great ones have them roller coaster ride.
Do you worry that this is like just, so do you worry, is this rookie inconsistencies? Is there somewhere in the middle?
I'm not going to go beyond him being a rookie right now, because ultimately he got the rib injury.
His Do you think that's because DQ and Jaden last night were matter of fact? No, that's not.
I know, and that's what they're supposed to say. But I watch him not stepping in the throws.
Yeah,
and he don't step in the throws when guys are close to him. So that may be something of that sort. But I'd be damned if I'm a question that dude's talent and his heart, because we have to understand Jaden Daniels showed us what he's capable of being. As David Aldridge said early in the season, if he show you moments that mean you got the right person, that's what you're looking for. But now it's like he's shown.
If anybody's questioning effort or heart, they're idiots.
No, I don't know. Listen, people question everything, and this is the little the idiot's opportunity to go on their little jog around and think, oh, I told you. You ain't telling nobody nothing. It's tough. This league is tough as hell on everybody. Coaches calling, quarterbacks playing, running back playing, linemen playing. We were talking about how injured our offensive linemen were going into the game. The Eagles played games and played on a Sunday after us.
Short week, right.
You know, so the ultimate thing is you are going to go through these moments. How you bounce out of them? They've lost two in a row. First time they've done that this year. Let's see where it goes.
I think my concerns with Jaden, last night, to your point about his feet were getting a little choppy in the pocket. Mm-hmm. He seemed far more cognizant of oncoming pressure than he has in a while.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that's to protect himself. He's also under duress on most snaps, right? Yeah. And then the run game didn't really get going. It's two games in a row now where his run game hasn't got going. They don't seem to be calling the stuff to the edges for him in the run game.
And you wonder
if that's a direct result of...
I had a question about that. The edge stuff, you're out with the smaller people. The inside stuff, you're going through the big boys. So I don't... If it's because we're trying to protect him, why run those draws up the middle then?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I am not going to make any sort of conclusions on Jaden. I think he's been fantastic. I think he will continue to be fantastic. I thought his response and attitude and everything he said after that game were exactly what you want. I agree with you. Whether the ribs are or are not a factor, there's no way DQ and Jaden are going to admit it.
Yeah.
It did worry me last night, to your point about being short in the pocket. It seemed like he wasn't getting through progressions, which he's done all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. The Eagles are also really good. That front seven's loaded. There were a lot of factors. I think the O-line, I mean, having watched them in the locker room last week after the Steelers, seeing how beat up they were, seeing them in the locker room this week, seeing last night, I think those guys are just zapped and need this break, and then they get a good chance when Dallas comes to town in 10 days. But, Brian, I do think it's our first time where, I don't know, I'll go left hand up, Landfill. I'm cool with Jaden. If assuming he's fully healthy, they keep saying he is, Jaden's really damn good, and I'm not going to be concerned by, you know, a performance in Philadelphia where mm-hmm. they couldn't get the pass game really going. I don't know do you want to go field goal first or end of game first?
Go anyway.
Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury have been very aggressive on fourth downs throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
I have, by and large, applauded them for that. The decision to kick the field goal, I'm sorry, the decision to not kick the field goal last night in a 12-10 game with about 8 minutes remaining on fourth down in Philadelphia territory, I think deserves to be discussed, but I'm not going to kill DQ for that.
I would hope a lot of people don't try and kill him, because when he didn't go for it, everybody was on the other side. And then you had another coach go for it, and they didn't make it, and then they were on the other side. People are always going to be opposite of what you say. That's why last night I didn't want to talk about it. But ultimately—
It was a huge play.
It was a huge play. But if they get it, nobody says anything, but they didn't get it. So now everybody can question it.
I don't hate the decision to go for it there.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly consistent with how they've coached throughout the year. I think— For me, though, like when we talk to Greenberg, whenever you and I reference analytics, I'm not anti-analytic, but I think they have to match up with you have to understand the flow of the game and kind of the context, right?
Yeah.
Specific to that moment, they got a gain of 9 on first down.
Yeah.
They have second and inches. They get pushed back to a 3rd and 1. On 3rd and 1, they get pushed back to a 4th and 2.
Mm-hmm.
That would have impacted my decision making. Like, yo, we're getting blown off the line of scrimmage here. Maybe we want to kick.
But I think still you're looking at the fact that over the time they have been more consistent in getting those yards than not. And that's your mindset,
They've
too.
Been so good on fourth down.
But that's your mindset.
Right.
So
it was a little interesting to me. They went under center there when they've gone out of shotgun so frequently there.
I think we can question that more than the thought of going for it.
And Jaden, after the game, told us that he's got to be louder with his cadence. Because if you notice, there was a bobbled snap and that little bit of bobble, that little bit of impact.
Cowboy almost knocked the ball out.
Dude, that impacts the whole play.
Totally.
I don't know if it was an actual handoff or just a mesh point or just a fake, but everything got a little slower. Mm-hmm. The dude, Bond, made a hell of a play to beat Jaden to that edge for the tackle. For me, I think I would have considered that you just got blown off the line of scrimmage 2 plays in a row. I also would have considered the Eagles' kicking situation was a damn train wreck. So maybe we get up 1, they then have to rely on their kicker again. But what Austin Ekeler said to me in the locker room, I asked him about it, and we're going to play that audio a little later. What Ekeler said, or I don't know if you have it, Landfill, but we can play it later, whatever. Eckler's like, man, touchdowns win games. That's the way we've played and been coached all season. If you want to hammer him for that, I think you are relitigating the past. I don't know that in that moment I might take the points on the road, but if they get up 13-12 right there, the way Philly was starting to move the ball, do you think that's the final score?
More than likely not.
I don't think so.
But I like the aggressiveness. And I know everyone – listen, I've looked on social media today. Everybody's an expert. But everybody was going the other direction just last week. So – I am not swayed by all of the opinions, and we all have one, so that I give everyone credit for that. You have an opinion, voice your mind. But I don't think we are going to have to second-guess every move made in crucial situations every time it happens.
I think what I have a far greater problem with, and I asked DQ about this, it kind of got a non-explanation. Competition is the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Fight to the end. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. All of the things that they preach there. Like, I'm not going to kill you about the field goal because it's consistent with what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
The end of game scenario was absolutely not consistent with what you preach. You're down 2 scores, and that game ends with Washington holding 2 timeouts in their pocket?
Mm-hmm.
That is inconsistent with what
it's
you
inconsistent,
preach.
Jay, but I mean, you're in a situation now where, as you keep stating how bad everyone is beat up and how they were getting their asses whipped, what are you going to do? Go out there and put them in more harm's way?
B, they had a 1st and 10 on the Philly side of the half with like 2:25, and they just let it go down to the 2-minute warning.
And
that's just inconsistent with what they preach.
It's inconsistent, but, you know.
It's a 2-score game.
The man says competition. I believe they have competition. But I've watched coaches do that all the time. That game was out of hand for them.
We hammered Rivera when he did that stuff.
Rivera did it every damn time. All the time.
It's so a two-score game, man.
I understand that, but you know they weren't winning that game last night.
B.
When that tide changed, it was over.
When Saquon busted the second one, I tend
when
to
he
agree
busted
with you.
The first one, it was over.
No,
they had no energy.
But Brian, they got the ball with 4.5 minutes.
I understand all that minute stuff. I'm telling you, the energy on the field. Let's stop looking at the time sometime and look at the players. Those players were just drained. And we went into this game talking about how tired everybody is. They got to a point where they were exhausted.
I agree.
That is a point when you start getting people hurt like hell. And if we start trying to do
then
a lot of
why not just take a knee then?
No, but you don't just take a knee. You still go through your plays. You go through your stuff. It's a moment. But if they start doing things, somebody get hurt, we're going to kill them for that too.
It's highly, highly inconsistent with what they have preached and how they've played it.
I don't think they've changed their mindset. Ending
that game with two timeouts in your pocket to me is
that's all
egregious.
Cool. But the whole thing about it, bro, I don't feel every situation is as high, and every time we do something that's good is as good. We got to learn to get a little bit in the middle because everything is not a problem. I don't think they've changed their whole mindset in one night.
They did at the end of that game.
I don't think the mindset has changed. I think it's the situation, and that's how they finished the game out, to be honest with you.
Just to get out of there?
Yeah. A lot of times coaches do that at the end of the game when they know now this thing is done.
I agree. That happens for sure, but that's just not how we've been – what we've seen throughout the year.
But,
dude, even at halftime, to not throw a Hail Mary there, that's – they've been so aggressive at end of halves.
But –
and that's before half.
Have you seen
they
him,
had the lead.
Did you see him throw the ball deep before that moment? No, right?
But they've done it all year.
But
that's, they just last night they coached a little different than they had the rest of the year.
So you think they changed their mindset now? You think they changed?
I don't know if it was a mindset or if it was specific to that game, but it was different.
So, yeah. So and Vic Sangio's defense is different as well.
Sure.
And that's it's a lot more difficult to have a lot of success against that defense.
I agree, but. What I've liked about Dan Quinn throughout this process season is we're going to play our game and take the fight to them. And last night, it seemed like they were being more reactionary to what Philly was doing.
It happens at times.
Personality
get changed.
When are we opening these phone lines, Landfill? 11? We got a break. We've gone very long. We have a lot to discuss. We're going to let you guys weigh in. We got to do some blame pies. Nobody go anywhere.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.